Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And we're going to go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray you bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. And I just want to thank you again for the opportunity we have to serve you. Just bless now, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Like I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, and you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We'll be here till midnight. You can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And mentioning the website there, I also want to mention, too, I'm having problems with the website. I'm unable currently at the moment to update it. So there are a few things on there that need to be updated. I'm thinking that our last program that we have on there that you can listen to is the 1st of July, if I'm not mistaken. But other than that, I think I got that one on. Let me just double check here, and it looks like that one's up and running on there. But not sure exactly what the nature of the problem is, but hopefully we'll get that fixed here in the not too distant future and be able to update. Pray for us that we can get that going. And same thing with our church website. We're currently unable to update that one as well. And I think I still have a Happy Father's Day or something like that picture on our church website. But if you go to livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, and as I said, you can learn more about us. You'll find some old programs there, and the previous programs, I should say, some articles that I've written, and a number of other materials that are there, all at livewithpastoral.com. From there, you can also link to our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And yeah, I was just looking at that. Still has our Happy Father's Day thing on there. I can't get that changed just yet. But you still find out information about us. If you're in northeastern Ohio, if you live here, or if you're visiting here, we'd love to have you visit us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We meet near where Interstate 271 and Interstate 77 cross, and in Richfield, northeastern Ohio, about midway between Akron and Cleveland. Have more information about that at the half-hour break on the program tonight. Also, want to let you know that the Summit County Fair is starting up this week, and it will be running Tuesday through Sunday this week. Now, the challenge for us being a small church is because we have a booth at the fair all week, and I certainly invite you to stop by if you're in the area. It's on the north east side of Akron in the town of Talmadge, Ohio, and you can find it. It's at roughly where Howe Road and State Route 91 intersect. You can look it up online quite easily, but we'd love to have you stop by and visit our booth at the Summit County Fair. Not only our church, but of course we have some information about the radio program, and I will be there most days, Tuesday through Saturday, that is. And then, of course, on Sunday, I'll be busy at our church with our church services, but somebody will have the booth staffed from our church at that time. But that's July 26th through the 31st, this Tuesday through Sunday. And as a consequence, I will be out there, as I said, most of the times, but I will be back at our church for our Friday night Bible study this Friday night, the 29th of July. So if you're out at the Summit County Fair, stop by, check out our booth for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, also some information on our radio program there as well, and love to get a chance to meet you. Usually every year we see somebody from some people that listen to the radio program, so always glad to hear that. Oh, I was going to mention, as I started on Friday, I will be out at the Summit County Fair Friday afternoon, and normally we're on the air here locally in the Cleveland area, AM 1220 from 1:30 until 2 o'clock every Friday afternoon. And since I will be out at the fair, Pastor John Lutz, he's pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, and he's been a guest host for me on Friday afternoons in the past. Even I think he's filled in for me on Sunday night on one of the rare occasions that I've not been here. And he is also a guest with me about a month or two ago, and on a Sunday night. But he will be in the studio on Friday afternoon, and I will be calling in from the Summit County Fair, and we'll be talking on the radio this Friday, 1:30, Friday the 29th. So pray for us, and we're looking forward to a great time. And I kind of look at what we do at the fair anymore as sort of a plowing and planting type of a ministry. I'd love to be able to say that we go out to the Summit County Fair and we see lots of people come to Christ. I'd love to be able to say that we go out there and we're sharing the gospel and people just get saved by the droves. But unfortunately, we don't see that happening. And part of the reason is, if you think about it, we have in the Bible an interesting situation where Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, if you remember, and that's in Acts chapter 2, and he preached a great message, and when he got done preaching, we had thousands of people, literally thousands of people come to Christ, and the reason, I'll get to the reason in just a minute, but this was a tremendous message. And then we have contrasted with that, we have Paul preaching on Mars Hill in Athens, and that's in Acts chapter 17, and he preaches a tremendous message as well, but he has very few results. And if you've ever looked at that, and we'll get to our callers here in just a few minutes. Again, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. But if you've ever seen the two side by side and you wondered why did Peter have such great results and Paul had so few results, they both tremendous men of God and both preached tremendous sermons, and the same God was empowering both of them in their preaching. Why did one get thousands of results and the other one barely get anything at all that we could see? And the reason, I believe, is this. In Acts chapter 2, think about this for a minute. When Peter preached this message, it was the day of Pentecost, and Jews from all over the known world had come to Jerusalem for the holy days, and many of them had been there since Passover. And they were people who understood and knew the Old Testament scriptures. Remember, there was no New Testament scriptures written as yet. And these people had heard the scriptures, learned the scriptures, memorized the scriptures, studied the scriptures, believed the scriptures. They were a people whose hearts were prepared. They were ready to hear Paul or Peter's message. When Peter got up and he preached, he quoted from some of the Old Testament scriptures. He quoted, for instance, in Psalm 16 in Acts chapter 2, Peter says in verse 25, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." He quoted Psalm 16, where David wrote these things. And he expounded on that, and the people understood what he was talking about. See, these were a prepared people. They may not have fully understood about Jesus Christ and who and what he was. Some of them may not have even heard about him as yet, but many of them no doubt had heard some rumors, and they knew the messianic prophecies in the scriptures that they had studied, and they were prepared. So when Peter expounded on the Old Testament scriptures and shared with them who the Holy One was, that he was Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ was crucified and rose again, these people understood the message. They understood what he was talking about, and they were prepared to receive that gospel message, and thousands of them came to Christ as a result of that sermon. Contrast that with Acts chapter 17. In Acts chapter 17, the Bible tells us that Paul was waiting here in Athens. And it says here in Acts chapter 17 and verse 14, then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. So Paul's left here for a time in Athens, and while he's looking around, he sees some things that are happening in and around Athens. It says in verse 16, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. And he continues, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some say, what will this babbler say? Others, some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they didn't know what any of this was. They did not understand the Old Testament scriptures. They did not know in many cases. Now, certainly some of the Jews in the synagogue did, but the people in the market, the philosophers, the Epicureans and the Stoics, these Greek philosophers that he encountered out in the marketplace, they did not know what he was talking about. They had no basis to understand his preaching. They did not know any of the messianic prophecies. They did not understand the laws of Moses. They did not know about any of the prophecies in the various prophets of the Old Testament. And so he preached these things, and they questioned and they wondered. And it says in verse 19, after he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection, it says in verse 19, and they took him and brought him into Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. It was new to them. They were not familiar with it. They continued, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, either to tell or to hear some new thing. So this was all new to them. They had no framework to be able to understand it. They had no preparation of the heart. They just heard something. It was curious to them. It was strange to them. It was new to them, and they wanted to hear more. So then we read in verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. And he begins to preach unto them. And as he preaches to them, here's the results. Remember, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, thousands of people believed. Thousands of people came to Christ. Thousands of people were saved and baptized that day. Here's what happened on Mars Hill, Acts chapter 17, verse 32. Paul's preaching, and he talks about Christ and the resurrection. It says in verse 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. Where's the crowds coming to Christ? Some mocked. Some said, we will hear thee again of this matter. That reflects what we read before when it said in verse 18, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Babbling meaning he's just uttering nonsense that makes no, he's uttering things that make no sense at all. Others, some, he setteth forth, seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods when he preached, because he preached unto them the Jesus and the resurrection. They could not grasp, they had no frame of reference to understand this. And so when he preached on Mars Hill, some mocked, but there were some that wanted to hear a little bit more, but we don't see crowds flocking to Paul and getting saved. Verse 33 continues, so Paul departed from among them, and it says in verse 34, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them. So a handful of people did come to Christ. And again, what's the difference? On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached a great message, but it was to hearts that were prepared, people that had an understanding of the Scripture, people who were ready for the gospel message. Paul preached a tremendous message on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, and very few responded because their hearts weren't ready for it yet. And so that's what I mean by when we go to the fair, I look at it as a plowing and a planting ministry more than a harvest ministry, because unfortunately, the day in which we live in, when belief in God is at historic lows in the United States, when church membership or religious affiliation of any house of worship in the United States is at historic lows, when nearly two-thirds of pastors don't even have a biblical worldview, we are living in a day that's much more like Mars Hill when Paul was there than it is like Jerusalem when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. And that's the problem. We have so many people, I shouldn't say this, so many people, and it's going to sound bad, I guess, however I say it, but there's a lot of people who go into settings like a fair or whatever, and they're of an Acts 2 mentality. And they're trying to reach people with the methods that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, we reached people. The average person had a more sound understanding of the Bible, of God, than what we have today. We're living in an apostate nation today. We're living in a time of the great falling away when people simply do not have the frame of reference. I mean, do people hear the gospel for the first time and get saved? Absolutely. And would we want to go to the fair and share the gospel with somebody and see them come to Christ immediately? Absolutely. But the problem today is most people do not have a heart that's prepared like they did on the day of Pentecost. They're like the people that Paul preached to on Mars Hill. We have to plow up that hard ground, and we have to root out the weeds and things that's cluttering it up. And we have to prepare those hearts so that they can receive the gospel message. And then we go forth bearing precious seed. And we trust that the Holy Spirit will bring the increase. But there's a lot of plowing and planting that has to go on. You just can't take it for granted that the person that stops at your booth at the fair even believes in the God of the Bible, much less that the Bible is of any value whatsoever. Sometimes you have to do what missionaries do when they go into an area. They have to start from scratch. They have to do like Paul was endeavoring to do on Mars Hill. They have to tell them, you know, there is a God, and he does exist, and he created you, and he made a way of salvation possible for you. And you have to begin at the beginning. You can't just begin with the Savior, because people don't even think they need a Savior. They don't even believe the Bible as of any value. And this is where Christian apologetics come in. I know some people take umbrage at apologetics, and they think, oh, that's, you don't need that. You just got to have faith, brother. No, sometimes to get the unsaved person's attention, you need to be able to defend the Word of God as being the Word of God. You need to be able to defend the fact that God exists at all before you can begin to share the gospel message. The heart has to be plowed up. The ground has to be prepared to receive the good seed of the gospel message. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm Pastor Al Davis. You can find us online, livewithpastoral.com. You can give us a call tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. The phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Our phone lines are open, and we have Nancy waiting patiently for me tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, hi, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call.
Good evening.
Good evening to you. Very interesting discussion about how some people's hearts are, you know, plowed. I mean, they're ready, you know, like
yes.
Peter had such great success and Paul didn't, because with Paul, all the people were, or most of them were, their hearts were ready and they had a good background. Now, my question tonight or comment is, I heard a preacher on WCRF talk about the Great Reset.
The Great Reset, yes.
Yeah, and he said Biden and Hillary and Obama or China or Bill Gates or George Soros, they do not determine when we have the Great Reset. God is the one who decides. He it's not these people, but I mean, God can't jump out of the sky, and so he uses people or he allows them to do the things that would bring on the Great Reset. So it just sort of boggled my mind when this preacher said, these people don't, it's almost like he said they don't have anything to do with it. God decides. God decides on when we're going to have the Great Reset.
When we look at the idea of the Great Reset, for those who are listening who are not familiar with this topic, this is a term that comes out of the World Economic Forum. It's not a word or a phrase that we made up. Klaus Schwab, head of the World Economic Forum, he launched this initiative back a few years ago and even wrote a book about it. And he's famously quoted as saying something to the effect of, in the future with this Great Reset, you're going to own nothing. Basically, the government will own everything, your home, your car, I guess even the bed you sleep in and the hat you put on your head. The government will own everything. You'll just rent it from them and you'll be happy. Now, I've rented a house before. I've rented before in my life, and I've owned a home in my life. And let me tell you, I'd much rather own my own home than rent a home. It's nice to have a home when you're renting, but you can only do so many things because it's not yours. It belongs to somebody else. You only have temporary custody of it. But if it's yours, you know, a lot of people rent cars. I don't want to rent a car. Unless I'm traveling somewhere. But I mean, some people just rent a car. Then after a year or so, they turn it in, get a new car, and they lease the car, I should say. It's just renting by another name.
Right.
But I really am reluctant to do that because, well, when you lease the car, it's not yours. You still have to be responsible to the owner of the car for certain things. And mm-hmm. I'd rather have my own car. If I get a dent in the fender, I don't have to worry about it. If I want to, do some change to it, I can do it. I don't have to worry about how many miles I drive it during a certain period of time. I can do whatever I want with it because it's mine. And personal property is recognized in the Bible many times over. And the Great Reset, it wants to take your property away from you, and you're going to love it. And there's a lot more to it, of course. They're going to essentially reset the world economy. You see this in the digital currencies that are being set up. The United States has recently established a digital currency. Eventually, they're going to maneuver to make all transactions electronic, digital. And they say, well, what's wrong with that? I mean, we do a lot of digital electronic transactions now, and it's very convenient, very safe, very helpful. Yeah, but think about it. Just put it in a very simple sense. If you have a child or a grandchild or niece or nephew or something like that, and they're little, and you buy them a piggy bank, right? And when you go over and visit them, you say, let's go feed your piggy. And you give them some coins, and you watch them clink the coins in the piggy bank. And you don't know how much is in there. And the coins are getting in there, and the piggy bank gets fuller and fuller and heavier, and they kind of see that. And it's a great way to begin teaching them the value of money, isn't it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I had a piggy bank when I was little.
How would you do it if it's electronic? Here, let's feed your piggy and click your phone on the side of it and hear a beep.
That would be awful.
Yeah. So, I mean, and also there's nothing in it. It's just electronic credits. And I remember having a piggy bank when I was a little kid. I used to shake it and look upside down, look at the slot and try to get an idea what was in there.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, that's probably a common thing. But, I mean, that's just one thing. Here's another thing. Every single thing that you do is going to be recorded. Remember just recently here in the United States, they had that plan that they floated about the bank. Your bank has to inform the government of every transaction. What was it, over $600, $600 or more?
Yeah.
I think it was. Well, what is that going to do? A lot of people have direct deposit with their paycheck. Essentially, every paycheck you get is going to be reported in everything you make. What if you have a bank account in one bank and you say, I want to move some money in this bank account to another account in another bank? And you move $600. This is if they had passed it. Of course, they enough back lash against it that they floated to see what would happen, but then they backed off. It'll be back, probably something similar. So you move that money to another bank, and all of a sudden there's a record that the government knows. And, you just got this constant going on, the government looking over your shoulder at everything that you've got. And let me put it this way. If you have money in your piggy bank, and something happens, you can break open your piggy bank and get the money out because it's there. You have it.
Right.
But if it's all electronic and something happens, let's say there's an electromagnetic pulse attack and the infrastructure's down, your phone don't work, the internet doesn't work, the TV doesn't work, the radio doesn't work, the computers don't work, all that sort of stuff. And guess what else doesn't work? Your electronic banking doesn't work. Your digital currency doesn't work. And you break open your piggy bank, and all you have is circuits in there that registered your electronic credits. You're lost. You have nothing. And then when it comes back online, how do you know you're going to get everything back? So I remember when I was stationed in England, when I was in the Air Force, I was stationed in England. I had some friends who were some British friends. They lived up in West Yorkshire, and I remember going up and visiting them, and they were older, and they were telling me about when Britain converted their currency over to a decimal system instead of having to worry about crowns and pence and all that sort of stuff, pounds and everything. they went to where, you know, you had 100 pence equaled 1 pound, and they made it more like ours, you know, with 100 pennies equals a dollar. I know we're coming up on the break. They said they assured us that we got the same amount of value when they converted our money over. He said, but we know the money never went as far after the conversion. Hey, Nancy, do you want to hold for a minute? We got a break coming up here, and we can continue looking at this. And if you're listening, stay tuned. We've got a short break and another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stick with us. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And, of course, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about us there. You can also link to our homepage for our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. And you can follow some more things there. But check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. Excuse me. And again, a reminder that we're having some problems with the website there. We're just not able to update it right at the moment. So pray for us that we can get that sorted out. And also a reminder that we will be at the Summit County Fair this week. And if you're in Northeastern Ohio, in the Akron area in particular, and you're going to the Summit County Fair, check us out. Our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, will have our booth right inside the main gates. There's some commercial space on either side of the main entry there, and we're about halfway through that. on the right as you come in the main gates. We look forward to meeting you there at the Summit County Fair this week, starting Tuesday, running through Sunday evening. All right. Well, we're going to get back to our program here tonight, and we were talking with Nancy before the break about the Great Reset and what it is. And Nancy, are you still there with us?
Yes, Pastor Al. Is there anything in the Bible that is similar to the Great Reset? Because I know you said that the World Economic Forum is the one that basically came up with this.
Right.
Klaus Schwab.
He had a book actually published by that name.
Anything in the Bible that you would say sort of fits in with this? And then also, is this going to occur? I mean, is it a done deal that it's going to occur before the tribulation, or is there anything in the Bible about timing, or what would you think of that?
Well, it's not a done deal, and this is probably one of the biggest things right now in terms of pushing for a global government. In the last half hour when we were talking about this, we were talking about the effort to turn the currency into a global or a digital currency, and that's a part of making a global economic system, and mm-hmm. So these are the number of the things that are planned there. It basically radically transform certainly the government, the economic system of many countries, such as the United States in particular, and this is not something that's just a bunch of unknown people that are on there. Prince Charles of England is one of the big faces on it. I believe Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister in Canada, is a proponent of it. He's been involved in it. Certainly, some of the people we have here in our own country. I'm just trying to think of some of the names off the top of my head. Actually, Putin in Russia has been involved in it, as has been the leader there in the Ukraine, Zelensky, and a number of others. The Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, he's another guy that's involved with this. And I believe that Pelosi and Biden, Bernie Sanders, that's one. Let's see, there's a number of people who are, I think, that have been involved in this. And this is just government officials. There's also a lot of industry officials and things that are involved in this. So this is not some group of, kind of wannabes waiting in the wings. These are major world figures in government and industry. And also in religion, the Pope, if I'm not mistaken, has also spoken favorably of some of these things, as have some other religious leaders. But here's the thing. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that there are certain things that are going to happen. And we know from the Bible that when the Antichrist comes to power during the tribulation period, there will be a one-world government for a time. And that's the goal. The devil is trying to bring this to be. And I've been reading about things since the 1970s of these plans to foment a one-world government. And interestingly enough, oftentimes they divide the world into 10 regions. They'll call them 10 economic regions, 10 governmental regions, or whatever. But 10 seems to be a recurring number, which is interesting because the Bible indicates that the Antichrist kingdom will be made up of 10 kingdoms. His world government will be made up of 10 kingdoms that he basically presides over. And so it's kind of interesting. These globalists like to come up with ways of setting up setting the stage for a 10 world or a 10 nation or 10 regional sort of governments type thing under a global government. But despite these attempts to produce this, in 2 Thessalonians, where Paul is writing here, he's telling them about the coming of the Antichrist. And it starts in verse 1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him," which right there, for people who don't think that the rapture was taught in the first century, Paul just said the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the return of Christ at the end of the tribulation, and by our gathering together unto him, that is the rapture, the catching away of the believers. Now, he continues, he's talking about this, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And this right here actually tells us that the temple will be rebuilt in Jerusalem, and there will be a return of sacrifice. The Jewish Levites, the Levitical priesthood, will be brought back in being conducting these sacrifices in the temple. They actually have plans to build a temple, materials to build the temple, and they're training Levitical priests right now in the temple sacrifice system. And so Paul says that the Antichrist is going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That doesn't mean that he is God. That means that he's going to put himself there and claim to be God, showing himself as God. He's going to go in and say, "I am God," showing himself. He's going to make the claim that he's God. And this is something that happens in the midpoint of the tribulation. And it says in verse number 5 here, he continues, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you of these, or told you these things," meaning he was talking about it back then. And then he says, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." Now here's the key that gets to what you're asking. "Now ye know what withholdeth." There's a word there, a Greek word, that talks about hindering and holding back. And that's why we get the Greek word withholdeth there. And something is actively hindering, withholding the devil from bringing forth the Antichrist, from these events taking place that we just read about. He says something is actively holding this back that he might be revealed in his time. And then it says in verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." Now, this is interesting because the devil is working in the world. He does not know when the Lord is going to call us out of the world, and he's going to have opportunity to bring the Antichrist to power. Now, I think he's planning for it, and I think he's pretty sure that we're in the time frame, and I think most Christians today are certainly, and most Bible-believing Christians are pretty much of the understanding we're in the season, near to the time when the Lord's going to call us out of here, and there's a mystery of iniquity that's working in the world. A lot of people get caught up in conspiracy theories, and I remember reading a lot about conspiracy theories in the 70s, in the 80s, and then I went into the Air Force, and because of the work that I did in the Air Force and where I was stationed and the things that I was exposed to, I quickly came to the conclusion, especially when I rededicated my life to the Lord and started studying the Bible more, like I should have been, I came to the realization that all these conspiracy theories, they're kind of like the theory du jour, you know, the theory of the day. Some people say it's all this group. Some people say it's all that group. Well, all these different groups all tie back to the same thing, the devil working behind the scenes, trying to organize, whether it's the Bilderbergers, the Club of Rome, the Illuminati, this, that, or the other. It's all the work of the devil. It's the mystery of iniquity that's working, trying to express itself, trying to bring forth the globalist agenda and the Antichrist and his government. But it's being restrained actively, withheld, as we saw in verse 6. Verse 7, it says, "The mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth." And the curious thing is, the word "let" there is the same word that was translated "withholdeth" in the previous verse. We don't typically think of let as a hindrance today. We think of that as something that allows something to happen, but we still use it sometimes like in legal language without let or hindrance, and letting meaning to hinder in this case. He says, only he who now letteth, meaning to hinder or withhold, will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy the brightness of his coming. Continues on talking about the revelation of the Antichrist. But what is hindering him? And it's the
Christian.
Work. What's that?
Christian?
It's specifically, it's the Spirit of God working through believers. Remember, we're supposed to be salt and light in the world. Salt salt hinders decay. Salt's been used as a preservative. I have a coffee table in my house that belonged to my grandmother. And one of my uncles, one time many years ago, shortened it and stripped all the old paint off from it and it turned it into a coffee table. And we have it in our house. It's a nice heavy oak table. Well, my mom, when she was growing up, said that was the salt table because she grew up on a farm and they salted meat on that table. It used to be a little taller, and it was a heavy oak table because they would take the meat, they put salt on the table, they put the meat on the table, and they would pound the salt into the meat because the salt would pull the moisture out of the meat and help preserve the meat, and then they would put it in the smokehouse and all. But salt acted as a preservative. It held back, it withheld decay. And also light. When you put up a lantern or a candle or something, that little bit of light pushes back the darkness, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God is doing through the believers. The Spirit of God that indwells each and every believer at the moment of salvation works through the life of each believer, pushing back the darkness, retarding the decay in our society, and that's what's holding back the mystery of iniquity, and it will, and God will continue to hold back the mystery of iniquity until the Spirit of God in his present ministry is taken away, in which case the children of God, the believers, the born-again believers, are also going to be taken away. Because the Bible says that we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's in us, and the Bible says we're sealed until the day of redemption. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So if the Spirit of God in his present ministry is going to be removed, then the believers have to be removed as well, and then shall that wicked be revealed. So in the sense of this globalist agenda, the Great Reset, cannot take place until God allowed it. There's truth to that, because when it's the right time, God is going to tell the angel to sound the trumpet, and Jesus is going to call us up to meet him in the air, and we will be with him, and then that wicked shall be revealed. And that's the Antichrist, and the global government is going to come into being. The Great Reset's going to begin to come together, and the world government will come together. And that's not going to be all, happiness and smiles. There's going to be some difficulties. The Bible says, indicates that several of those kingdoms might chafe at it, three of them, I believe, out of the 10. And so this is being held back, though, right now by the presence of the Holy Spirit working through his children. And, when I realized that how God is restraining the mystery of iniquity that's already working in the world, it really took a lot of worry and anxiety away from me, because I was reading about all these things. I remember I was still in high school, even before high school, reading a column by a guy that he was always on about the Bilderbergers and the Club of Rome and this group and that group. And I thought, as a teenager, am I ever going to live in a free world when I grow up? If I'm even going to grow up. It just said he painted such a dire picture.
Right.
And then when I was in the Air Force and exposed to, some materials, because I'm putting together the reading file for our commanding officer every morning, and I'm reading all this classified stuff, and I'm seeing what's happening in the world. And I began to realize, and at about this time I got involved with a missions church outside of our base there in England. I was stationed at RAF Chicksands, and a guy from Georgia started a base or a church outside of our base. And a guy that was stationed with me was going to that church and invited me, and I went there, and I rededicated my life to the Lord there. Ended up surrendering to the ministry there. That's why I left the Air Force, was to go into the ministry. But while I was getting back into the Bible and studying the Bible like I should have been, God began to put some of these things together, and I began to see all this stuff that was going on. I'm remembering all this conspiracy stuff that I had been reading, and I began to realize there's all kinds of stuff going on in the world. Of course, during the height of the Cold War there in the 1980s, you're looking at how, the Soviet Union was orchestrating so many things around the world, how the KGB mm-hmm. had its fingers in all of the peace groups and everything and orchestrating this, that, and the other, and how the media was being manipulated, and how the schools, the institutions of higher of learning were being infiltrated and manipulated by the international communists, oftentimes led by the Soviet Union through the KGB and related groups. And I began seeing all this, and I realized it all depend. No matter what group you favored, whether it was the KGB or the Bilderbergers, it didn't matter. It all eventually came back to the devil, who was behind it all. He's behind it all. Communism. It's beyond me how a born-again Christian can justify holding the beliefs of communism. Communism is a godless system that's based on atheism and a rejection of God's word. Read Karl Marx and read about him and read what these organizers, Marx and Lenin and all these people taught and what they did and how they conducted their lives. And you will see some of the most vile, depraved individuals and how they're looked up to by people who claim to be Christians. That's why some of these current groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter, how a born-again Christian can be involved and think that those are acceptable groups. They're all based on the ungodly system of communism. Mm-hmm. And, people say, oh, Black Lives Matter's not. No, look at Colors and the people who set it up. They said, we're trained Marxists. But here's the thing, and this includes Antifa and Black Lives Matter, and this includes, people in our government. All of them are trying, or I shouldn't say all of them, many of them are trying to destabilize our society. It's classic, what they call the Hegelian dialectic. You cause the problems and you exacerbate the problems and collapse the system, and then you bring in the solution. And right now we're seeing, the threat of food shortages. And I'll tell you what, at our Friday night Bible study, we were talking about a pattern, the 7 years of plenty followed by the 7 years of famine in Egypt when Joseph was second under Pharaoh, and the people began starving, and they ran out of money. When they ran out of money, they said, buy our lands, and the government took their lands. And then when they still needed food because the famine had yet to abate, they said, we've got no money. You own our land. Buy us and our cattle. And they sold themselves to the government. And that's what you'll find. You see, Stalin did that in the Ukraine in the 1930s. We saw Mugabe doing that in Zimbabwe in Africa. We see many times over despotic governments coming to power and consolidating their power by forcing man-made starvation on people. They cause the problem, and then they come offering the solution. And when people are starving, they'll say, take our money, take our houses and lands, take our cattle, take us. Just give us a piece of bread. And we see that being set up in the world today. They're predicting, you know, you see the stuff in the Ukraine and Russia going on. Wheat harvests are down. Fertilizer production is down, and what you have is expensive. Mm-hmm. Farmers in the United States cannot afford the diesel and gasoline to run their equipment. Some parts, what is it? I think in the Netherlands where they're having farmers are protesting because they're being told by the environmental wackos that are saying, oh, you can't put as much fertilizer in the soil now because it's bad for the environment. Well, guess what happens when you don't put enough fertilizer in the soil? You don't get the same yield from your crops. And when you don't get the same yield from your crops, if fertilizer is expensive and in short supply, which again reduces your yield, and you can't hardly afford the fuel to run your equipment, guess what happens? You start going broke. You run out of money. And then the government, and there are people out there, Klaus Schwab and people who are affiliated with World Economic Forum who are buying up farmland around the world. Wonder why? How about that? You know, there's plans afoot, but God is currently restraining it. But when the rapture takes place and his people are caught up out of the world, that restraint will be gone, and then that's what we see here. The mystery of iniquity, as he said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth, meaning restrains, will let, meaning restrain, until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. You know, we need to do as much as we can, but I liken it to this, all the corruption and the things that we see happening. The tide is coming in against us. We're not going to stop it. But, you know, we can sure sandbag around where we're at until the time that the Lord calls us to be with him. And that may be sooner than we think, but we certainly, you know, I'd certainly encourage people, you don't have to be a hoarder, but certainly it'd be a good idea to have a little extra food on hand in your home and to, you know, to look ahead and make common sense preparations. Maybe because I grew up on a farm, we're used to having a cellar full of food. That's where I come from. But at any rate, don't need to panic. Put your faith in Christ. Trust Christ as your Savior. Hey, we're out of time tonight. I want to thank you for the call. Thanks for listening. God bless. Join us next time.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.